Wingspan of the Holy Spirit.
Brother John.
What did you think of that Amos Yee video? In case you haven't seen it, this is the video. If you are a free thinker, you should watch it. What do you think?
Well, I think he has some interesting points.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he himself is a Singaporean, and well, it seems that the whole world is adoring Lee Kuan Yew, and here's this guy talking, you know.
16-year-old
lambasting Lee Kuan Yew.
Yeah, it's a David and Goliath kind of thing, and David seems to be losing so far, because right now Amos Yee is in jail because the bail hasn't been posted yet, the $20,000 bail. And why was this kid thrown in jail? Because of the video that I linked to earlier. Okay. What did you think?
Actually, I think that if he had not been arrested, then none of us would have seen that video. Because you take the arrest away and he's just some 16-year-old kid who
that is true.
Some interesting points, but is otherwise vulgar. Speaking for myself, I wouldn't have actively sought out that video or landed on it.
Yeah.
The only thing that made it interesting was the fact that he was arrested.
It was already interesting in Singapore.
Yes,
so it was
to a worldwide audience.
Yeah. Okay.
And his points are not incredibly original, though they are. He is quite brave to bring them up.
And I would say eloquent, you know, minus the profanities that are unnecessary.
I would say for a 16-year-old, he's amazing.
Yeah.
If when my children are 16, they spoke like that, I would first of all have a talk with them about vulgarity, but admire their capacity to maybe not come up with original ideas, but come up with ideas that are contrary to perhaps my ideas or
and at least have the guts to voice them out
in as logical a manner as someone like him can. I mean, I maintain after this, he's going to get into whatever university in the world he wants to get into.
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially because of the arrest.
And politics.
And
he will have credit.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of people saying, you know, Marcos should have been like Lee Kuan Yew, and our country wouldn't be in the state that it's in.
No, and I remember as a college student, you do have the strong temptation to pick up whatever countercultural argument is out there. So whatever's there, there is really a strong motivation to say no, the older generation was wrong.
Be the contrarian.
To be the contrarian and look up for whatever you can find to support that cause. That's a normal part of youth, and neither is that a bad thing or even untrue. Very often they can be true.
Yeah. Benevolent dictatorship is, you know, the theme that it's thrown around a lot when you talk about Lee Kuan Yew. And for sure, he did a lot to improve the country in those ways that most people perceive to be the measures. But as Amos Yee said, you know, not having the freedom is not a good thing. And speaking of benevolent dictators, you are from a place with lots of shrimp, and also, like what a lot of people think is a benevolent dictator. What are your thoughts on this? Because, like, for our audience who are mostly in Manila, they're often, you know, Duterte is a dictator. He just kills people if you hate him. But for people who live in Davao, they do appreciate the measure of safety that they feel. And the results that Duterte gets as far as lawfulness goes. What are your thoughts on?
Yeah, like I said previously, and like I've written previously, you know, I've lived in Manila for a decade. My wife and I have lived in Manila for a decade. And our kids were born here. They grew up here before we moved back to Davao, where I'm really from. And I would still prefer living there. And living here, I think I've written before that, you know, it's not as bad as like we don't have freedom or we should be careful about our every move.
Yeah,
it's not like that at all, you know.
Okay.
It's just like a normal city in the Philippines where you just have to be careful if you drive over 30 miles an hour.
That is the thing in Davao. They have these crazily slow speed limits that result in less accidents, for one thing. And, you know, hypothetical question. If an Amos Yee were to do the same thing, you know, someone living in Davao says, Duterte is cocksucker. Uh-huh. Don't take me out of context. There was an if there, right? This is a hypothetical scenario. So if someone said something like that, you know, he's corrupt, he's not succeeding, right. You know, what would happen to that kid, to that person? You know, let's not make it a kid. Let's make it, you know, like a 30-year-old, so that we remove the sympathy for children that a lot of Filipinos have. What would happen to that person?
Well, if that person was just bad-mouthing him...
With some profanity as well, because that plays into the, you know, not just journalistic criticism, but the criticism that a blogger has the freedom to perform. Uh-huh. You know, more out there, more in-your-face profanity.
I think there are people who do that even now. I see some...
On a video that's popular online, you know, like something that goes viral in Davao, that gets shared throughout the Philippines, you know, affecting his presidential campaign.
All right, this is theoretical because I can't think of any such video.
Yeah, exactly.
I can. Wasn't there that issue about some comedian comparing the women to shrimp?
Ramon Bautista. Okay. Yes. Right. But it wasn't Duterte.
It was
a different Duterte.
It was the son who got angry.
But we can see some reaction to
a preview, mm-hmm.
to yeah. A criticism.
Actually, what happened there was the son was the one who reprimanded the comedian.
Yeah. Ramon Bautista, for anyone who wants to search about the incident.
But the father, who's the mayor, actually said, you should have just...
Let it go.
Should have just let it go.
Which is a perfectly reasonable reaction from the father. And, a rash reaction from the son, perhaps.
From the son. But, you know, the son is taking cues from somewhere. You know, like, you know, the strong arm, the strong hand,
But perhaps he misinterpreted in this particular
You don't apply it to those, that kind of criticism. You reserve it for the Amos Yee kind. Because, you know, like, even the question, like, you had to wonder what Duterte would do to such a person, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, for any other leader, save for maybe the Marcos, I don't know. I don't know him. As well, right? But for any other politician, let's take Grace Poe.
Okay.
Someone criticized Grace Poe in a profanity-rich way.
Mm-hmm.
That person would not. You wouldn't think that he would be thrown in jail or be found in the side of the road in a ditch somewhere. But a lot of people would think if you do that to Duterte, that might be the case. And it's the reason I think that only a few of these videos. Exist. Of course, I'm hypothesizing.
Andy seems to believe that that's not true.
Does he? Do you think that is not true?
Handles criticism in a reasonable manner.
Do we know? Do we even know? Because the specter of fear is there.
Only one of us in this table can speak of that.
Not really. Like, well, I can make, you know, guesses about.
Well, you can make guesses, but you don't live there, so you don't know.
No, I know. I know that I am more afraid of criticizing Duterte in an in-your-face way than I would be criticizing even Binay, or even Marcos, or even whoever. Duterte has a reputation. I have received messages, by the way, from people who have a first-hand experience of, you know, journalists just disappearing or being shut up in Davao. Okay. So I don't have first-hand experience, but some people have told me that this happens. So is it worth it? You know, the prosperity, the perceived prosperity of Singapore, the perceived safety of Davao, is it worth these freedoms being, you know, of course you can't really prove that someone did not do something because you can't prove that, right? You can't prove that. But the fear is there. Is it worth it? What do you think?
For me,
For you,
it's okay. It's
okay.
You're
on his good side.
I'm on his good
side. Yeah, you're on his good side. If you're the bad guy.
Well, I grew up not with Duterte as mayor. You know, I grew up in my childhood years. It was another guy, and every day my dad was afraid that someone, that we would get shot, because Davao at the time was like a
filth. Outlaw.
Yeah, it was
place.
We had a place called Agdao. People called it Nicaragdao after you know.
Okay. Nice
killing fields. You know? And it was Duterte who put a stop to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now you know I can walk down the street in Davao
at late night. At night. Yeah.
But what I mean is, I feel safer there than I would walking at night in downtown Tondo. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the.
It's worth it. There's no perfect leader, no perfect system, I think.
Okay.
What we have in Davao for now is preferable, is favorable for me.
Okay.
Than if I were living somewhere else.
Like Sweden.
No, I mean somewhere else in the Philippines.
In the Philippines. Okay. Well, what do you think?
Yeah.
2 points. Bring it back to Singapore.
All right.
There's so much I admire about Singapore. Obviously, it's not perfect. As I said, I think arresting Amos Yee was a big mistake. But one thing I can say about Singapore is that if you are unhappy about the curtailment of your civil liberties there, which is really not that bad. As you point out, it's not something you feel day to day. It's not like there's a thought police going around. But clearly, you do have to watch yourself and what you say online or what you spread in online or in publications. But if you're unhappy with that, at least you have the option of moving out. And I respect that a majority of people are happy with that system. So, it's good both ways, in that people that want that stability can stay there, and people that feel that the price of that is too much have the option of moving out. And part of the reason they have the option of moving out is because that stability brought about economic progress, which allows them to have some freedom in moving out, moving to another country that's more to their liking. And from what I know, some Singaporeans do move out. They move to Malaysia, especially those born before Singapore became its own country. They were born with Malaysian passports to start off with. Well, not that Malaysia necessarily existed as well, because it was all part of the British Empire. But they like the somewhat more chaotic country of Malaysia versus Singapore. And it's wonderful that they have that right. But the second thing I'd like to point out is that there are no guarantees. Anytime you allow someone that much control, you never know if it's going to work out well, I'd say well, or it just goes into the regular dictator category,
where everybody
loses. And once you enter into that, then it's so hard to escape from it. So it's such a dangerous situation to find yourself in. It's such a big gamble that I think is not worth it. The dangers far outweigh the benefits from my perspective.
I think you bring an interesting point, John. In your first point where you said, you know, the
option,
even though the leader was a dictator, but he was able to bring them to a point where they had the option of moving out. Like, I was thinking, if Lee Kuan Yew had not led Singapore that way, would there even be an Amos Yee, you know,
who would be capable
of recording all his rants on
what
on,
was Singapore on, before it was a pirate
camcorder.
Port,
or would this guy be out on the streets begging?
Yeah,
you know,
that is one.
That's a, possible.
One good point.
Yeah.
Like the more prosperous countries, according to studies, are more critical of their governments as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good consequence of a progressive or progressing country. But what I want to say about that is, for example, it's quite hot. I've been noticing, like even now, without our, it's not an air-conditioned room, guys. It's quite hot now. And in general, a lot of people would want to move to the States, which is quite cold, you know, just to take a break. It's
okay,
it, do you think
curious where you're going with this.
Where am I going with this, right? Do these people who find it hot have the option of moving to the States? Some do. I would say the majority do not.
All right.
Yes. So, you know, it's an option in that nothing is legally keeping them there.
Mm-hmm.
But as for the feasibility of that option, you know, the odds that they could actually take that option, to the point that it's meaningless to call it an option,
yeah,
it's not there.
Agreed.
Same for Singapore.
No, but in Singapore, most of the citizens would have the economic option
of
moving out.
But the poor people don't, which is still a significant...
Actually, if you're a Singaporean citizen, it's not a welfare state. And I'm not Singaporean, but from my understanding... The
government does spend little
money. A majority of the people there would have the option. They have opportunities, maybe not right away. I mean, it's an economic success story.
But the income inequality is one of the highest in the world, as you know, the video showed.
But
which means that a lot of them...
They have so many rich people.
That's the thing. I'm not really talking about the middle class and the upper class. I'm talking about the lower classes who do not have the option. And some people would judge the worth of a country not by how rich the rich people have it, not how good they have it, but how the poor people have it. And these poor people do not have the option of just, you know, uprooting their lives and moving to a different, more progressive country, maybe the Philippines, which is the closest progressive place that they could go to. You know,
maybe.
It is. I am proud to say that compared to our neighboring countries, the Philippines is quite good as far as civil liberties go. Davao.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Okay. Also Davao. Davao is far better than our neighbors when it comes to civil liberties. But that's the thing. I am reminded of this short story by Ursula Le Guin. It's The Ones Who Walk Away from Umelas. And the premise of the story is you can imagine the best place on earth. You know, no poverty, no unsatisfied citizens in any way, except for this one little girl who for some reason was being tortured in a dungeon. And the it's not really explained in the story, but it was the torture of that girl that allowed the place to be as prosperous. And some people... They couldn't stand that.
Yeah.
One person was being thrown under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
They walk away from Velas. In Singapore, it's not just one little girl. It's a lot of people are suffering, maybe not in the economic ways that a lot of Filipinos are suffering, but also that. They're also suffering in that way. But even the suffering in terms of freedoms not being exercised. To a lot of people, give me freedom or give me death. You know, they wouldn't mind the poverty. Which is why, move to the Philippines. We have lots of poverty and lots of freedoms. But they can't do that. That's a thing. And I think that's why people like Amnesty are necessary.
I bet that they could, though.
The poor people.
The poorest people in
Singapore
would still have enough assets to scrape together a plane ticket
to the Philippines.
To the Philippines.
Yeah,
now, once they get here, what would they do? I don't know. And it would be tough. I mean, I would not envy how they would have to pick themselves up from arriving here with no money.
And
plus, there are the legal issues that they would be overstaying here, visa, and all that. But I'm trying to say that it is an option for the people in Singapore to move out, and especially to their neighbor Malaysia, I think they do have, they can apply for
freedoms
for Malaysian residents.
Still
freedoms are not great in Malaysia, absolutely.
So,
especially when you factor in the religious issues.
Yeah. Same with Indonesia.
Yeah.
Same with a lot of
absolutely.
The other countries.
Yeah.
Philippines
the point
is
the
best. More fun in the Philippines.
True.
And
but the point is, there's still that choice. So if you absolutely hate your country that you have to leave. At least you have one other country that you could theoretically.
The bright side, though, is when they move here, like maybe in 2016, we'll have Binay as our president. Thank you, everyone, for watching this episode. Thank you to my co-hosts, Jonjon and Andy from Davao. Read his column on the Sunstar.
Yeah.
Davao.
Also on my blog, freethinking.me.
Read this website as well. And we will discuss this and more at our next meetup, which is happening. Just check out our website. Do subscribe, like, and share. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.